Okay. Father, we thank you for another fine night that you're going to be with us, leading us and guiding us and directing our ways, Lord. And I praise you for it, Lord. Let your grace and your mercy flow throughout this whole fellowship, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We ask that your glory come down too and anoint us. And Father, we just ask that you lead us, each one, to speak what you've got for us tonight. And we thank you for it, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit so much so that there's not any darkness left in us, that we're all Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Be with us. Anoint us all, every one of us, to speak the things that you want us to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right. Well, Missy's here. I haven't I talked to her right before she got to Sandy, so that was about an hour and a half ago. So she's here. We're prayed up. Everything's fine. And Julie will be here tomorrow night. Praise God. I'm looking forward to seeing both of them, really. I probably won't get to see Missy till tomorrow sometime, but we'll see her then. Her and Julie both. All right, has anybody got any prayer requests? Hey, Joe. Joe Britt. Hi, Joe D.
Good morning.
Hey, buddy. Hey, George.
Hey, Mike.
All right. Anyone else? Anybody got a prayer request or a something they'd like to relate? Comment? Go, George.
Yeah, we could use a plow truck. We've been trying to find one, hit and miss, and just need to go ahead and settle that God's got what we need, and he's already met all of our needs, and he's guiding us, and it's going to be easy, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I don't guess I missed what you were looking for, but that's...
A plow truck or a good tractor where we can clear our driveway and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Maybe be a blessing to the neighborhood too.
Yeah. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're going, that's on the way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Everybody up there needs one of those. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got a testimony or a praise report? Go ahead, George.
Yeah, my grandmother passed away right before Thanksgiving, and it was actually a good time, and I got to break away from the kitchen, and it was easy. And, well, quick story. Some maintenance men came, and one of them's parents is in wheelchairs, not doing well, and I just mentioned, yeah, I think my grandmother's passing away today. He went and collaborated. They came back with an envelope and shoved it in my face and said, we're not going to take no for an answer. I said, well, my wife doesn't even know. I don't know if I'll get to go. Remember what you put in the envelope. In case I don't go, I'll give it back to you. Well, they said, no, you need to go to Georgia. Don't regret it. So it was $520 in that envelope, and I made a quick decision. And then my wife got me flown down. And I missed her by a little bit, but that was okay. And I was able to preach her funeral and sing a song for her. And the hardcore atheists and the Jehovah's Witnesses heard the gospel like two or three times. And that was a dream come true for me. And I know God's word will not come back void of power. So I'm very pleased with that trip and got to minister to some young men and just actually called out every man in the family to do their job and, you know, let's get them all in the right spot and encourage them and everything. So it was an awesome trip. You know, I want to give God praise for that, for setting everything up and for keeping my family while I was gone.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome, George. Thanks for sharing. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Okay, I got a call from my sister today, and I had sent her a birthday card a few days ago, and she got it today, so she gave me a call. And, you know, God bless her. She's one of those that grew up in the Disciples of Christ Church, and but hadn't been to church for years. And I remember asking her about 20 years ago, you know, if you died tonight, do you know where you'd go? She said, oh yeah, I go to heaven. So, you know, I haven't, you know, pushed things with her, or just have tried to show myself, you know, friendly with her for the most part. And when we were growing up, she and I were really close, and I really love my sister a lot, but just on a spiritual level, we haven't, you know, she doesn't connect with me. And, but anyway, today, when she called, you know, I asked her how she was doing, and she said that she'd been really sick for 2 weeks with, you know, some kind of crud, a lot of coughing, and seemed to have pulled out of it after about a week, and then it came back with a vengeance. And she's just been really sick, starting to get a little better. And I asked her if I could pray for her. And the Lord just opened the door. It was so easy. It was so easy. We just commanded all that stuff to get out of her and off of her. And Lord just put on my heart, I said, open your mouth, because this thing's coming out. And she did. And anyway, she thanked me for praying for her. And I'm just thankful. I'm really thankful. I believe the Lord's starting to, you know, make some movement there in my family. And, you know, I just want to praise the Lord. I just want to thank him so much. And Father, in the place where that nasty spirit of infirmity and all the doubt and the fear and the unbelief in my sister that have left, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray you'd fill her up. I pray you would draw her to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would enlighten the eyes of her understanding by the power of the Holy Ghost. I've seen her kind of hurt in the last church we were going to, and she was going with us for a while, and just because of faction and the apostasy of that situation, she got really hurt and really just walked away from trying to pursue any kind of relationship with you. And Lord, I just trust and believe that the time is ripe for my sister, that you're going to draw her back to you. And she's got plenty of time on her hands, Lord. I pray you put on her heart, start being in the Word and praying. And Lord, that she's not only going to be my sister in the natural, but she's going to be my sister in the family of God as well. And I just thank you for the beginning today, the new beginning, and just trusting and believing, Lord, that you're moving, and not just in our families, but in the families of all of us here, Lord, because I know we've all been praying. And anyway, Father, I sure was encouraged, and I thank you very much. And I pray this in Jesus' name, and thank you for just completely healing her up and everything that I spoke to her about her feeling much better by the time her husband got home, and she's going to cancel her appointment to the doctor tomorrow. And that when I talk to her again, that it's going to be a good report to your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Okay. I believe it too. I believe we're going to see her here on the outreach. Thank you, Lord. Somebody else raised their hand. Who was it? Or maybe I had somebody in my mind, Debbie. Debbie, I'd like for you to, I'd like for you to read or tell us the thing that you put on the blog today, if you don't mind. Okay. Denny, did you have something you wanted to say while she looks it up?
Okay. Oh, sure. Our daughter, Hadassah, Deb talked to her today, and they're just really going through a real hard time financially right now. And he's kind of a storm chaser or insurance type of guy. After the storms, he'll go in and, you know, write up all the stuff. So when there's storms, it's a good business, but he hasn't had any work since September. It's been really hard on him. And right now they got a credit card that's all maxed out, and thinking they're trying to live on credit cards kind of thing. And they're believers and they're Christians, but they're just like their backs are against the wall. And I don't know, I don't know if they haven't really learned about giving and receiving or trusting or, but anyway, that's just where they're at. So we want to pray that they would, first of all, come into God's wisdom and things like that. And then also that God, he would show them the way out. God always has a way out. So we just thank you. So Father, we lift up Brad and Hadassah and their family to you. Lord, we ask you to teach them your ways, Father, and that they would be stubborn about clinging to your way and trusting you only, Father, and waiting on you and learning to be to giving and receiving. Lord, get them out of the tithing thing and out of that whole church thing that they're in, and just teach them your ways, God. And Lord, and we trust you're going to just guide them out of this, and within finances, that you would do it the right way. Show them what to do when they do get some money to give, Lord, to trust you. We just thank you. Thank you that you're going to provide for them. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Back to Illinois, February 1st. Yeah. They're renting a house. Mm-hmm. The owner is selling it. They were going to move back anyway because of everything it's working out down here. So moving back February 1st, and she said they're really in bad straits for that move they have to do, and a lot of frustration in their family.
Yeah,
so praying for them. They have peace and find the blessings of the Lord in all this.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Remove that stress.
Remove the stress, Lord. In Jesus' name, and put their trust in you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Totally just speak to them somehow, God, about that they can trust you, Lord. And I just pray that you would help them to realize that, like Denny prayed, just give and receive back from you, Lord. Teach this to them, Lord. Amen. So I have this up now. Should I just start with the word part, or should I read the introduction part, or Michael? I'll just read the whole thing.
Yeah, just read the whole thing. Yeah, that's good. It's really an exhortation. Good exhortation.
Hi, brothers and sisters. I just want to share these things with you. Father began speaking a word to me in the song, All Who Are Thirsty, in the words, Come, Lord Jesus, come. I believe he led me in my thinking, Lord, you are here now. And I heard him say to me, Listen to me. As I heard this, with my eyes closed, I saw those words in big, bold, red letters. He certainly has a way with words. So he had a word for me. He knows I hold back many times, but not sure of something I'm getting is of him. So I know Father was telling me to really listen, that I would know when to speak. And that came in the way he moved through Greg on the drum towards the end of the song. And it was really awesome. That was my cue from the Lord. So thank you, Jesus. So that Lord really worked in me that few moments there. But the Lord said, I am here. I am always here among you, my people. I am here and I am there. I will always be there. And when you get there, I will be there to speak to you, to guide you. So listen to me and listen for me. I want to speak deep things to each one of you, words that will deeply affect your relationship between you and me, and words for you to impart to others, to one another. I have deep words of guidance for you. Listen to me. So that was the word. I have a prayer. Father, thank you that out of your loving kindness, you desire to speak to us, to have fellowship with us. Lord, thank you that you are always wanting to speak to our hearts. Open our ears to hear you while you are still whispering to us. Move our hearts to respond to your words of guidance, whatever they may be. Thank you that your words to us are always out of your heart of love. Father, we desire your words of love, guidance, and direction in our lives. Thank you, Father. And these thoughts, these verses came to me. Psalm 32:8-9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule, which has no understanding and must be curbed but with bit and bridle. Psalm 143:8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Good word. He wants to converse with us, folks. He wants to us to get close to him. We're going to have to, you know, to get close to him. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Debbie and Denny. Anyone else? We went to a birthday party this afternoon, and I'm full as a tick. Ooh, there's Barbara. Maybe. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share? Okay, well, we can go into the Shepherd Psalms 23 and do a little of that tonight. I've been busy all day. That's not an excuse, but I've been busy. But I did. I was able to read this chapter and really enjoyed it. Hang on just a second, folks. I've got to get this guy on. He's giving him some wrong info, I guess. I don't know. 212-134-3914. 212-131. Oh, that's why.
Michael, is that James that Brandy mentioned was going to get on tonight? Okay.
Yeah, I got him. I gave him the wrong number. All right, let me. Somebody talk a minute. Leon, you got something to say? Oh, for goodness sake.
No, I was thinking I had something to say, and I couldn't remember what it was about. But that birthday party you mentioned that we went to was a good time. We celebrated one of the sisters' birthdays today, and about 20 of us went to a place called Western Sizzling, and it's a steakhouse, and they got a buffet and salad bar and so forth, and it was pretty good. Well, you probably know her, Joe Tiambi. Tiambi? Yeah, it was her birthday. Yeah, so I tell the story that she conned me into taking her out and buying her supper. she doesn't think that worked as the way it worked anyway, but but it was fun. We had a good time. Actually, Missy was coming today, and we thought we might get her to go too, but she had to stop at another location beforehand, so she ate over there, and we didn't get to fellowship with her. But we'll get to fellowship with her tomorrow. That'd be good.
Oh, there you are. There you are, James. Praise the Lord.
Hey, good evening. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay, my pleasure. Where are you from?
From California, Southern California.
Okay, we'll pray for you.
Thank you. For sure.
We're glad to have you. We're glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
The way we operate this thing, I don't know if Brandy told you, but the way we operate is, let me put your name in here, is that we come on at 8 o'clock our time, which would be 5 o'clock your time. And
we
pray, and if anybody has any prayer requests or any praise reports or testimonies or anything like that, we get those behind us, and then the new guy on the block gets to sing a song if he wants to. So, James, you're elected.
Oh, man.
I'm just kidding you. But anyway, and then after that, we do whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to do. You know, somebody will come up with a subject, and we'll talk about that for a while, and just whatever, you know. Now, we're finishing up in the last two chapters of a book called A Shepherd's Looks at Psalms 23 by Philip Keller. And it's it's a short book. It's been a great book. It's an awesome book, and I would recommend it to anybody to read and to study the parallels between a shepherd and and God, you know, and us. Pretty neat.
Yes.
And that's, excuse me. Anyway, that's pretty much it. We're kind of everybody has ability to speak when they want to, most of the time.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Goodness, had to sneeze there a couple of times. Okay, but anyway, that's pretty much it. We're kind of a relaxed, laid back, Holy Ghost filled people that love the Lord, and we pray a lot, and we talk about Jesus most of the time.
Amen.
And we're going to get into this. You can listen. We're in chapter 11. Of the shepherd takes a look at Psalms 23.
Michael?
Yeah.
Alan asked, James, what part of California, what city are you in nearby?
I am in Newport Beach.
Okay.
How far down? I'm close to Mesa, Orange County, California.
Orange County, okay.
LA. Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to remember what last Tuesday you had said something about we need to get pencil and paper and just take time to get a word from the Lord. Do you remember saying that?
I do, and I didn't. I forgot. I wrote it down too. I wrote it down, but the fan, I blame it on the fan. The fan blew it off.
That
was
last
Tuesday. Was it last? What's today?
Today's Tuesday. I don't believe I was on Thursday, so it had to be
Well,
Tuesday.
Thursday we had praise and worship.
Anyway, I used to do that, and I got away from it. So I thought, Lord, I got to do this, you know. So I did ask him to give me a word. And okay. What was funny about it was I had a talk with Judy about how the Lord just takes care of the little things. We got to believe for the big things, you know. He takes care of the little things that, like, you know, like sometimes he'll talk to us in our mind, and he'll say, you know, like sometimes Judy and I will lose our keys or something. We'll say, Lord, where did I put those keys? And then he'll give you a thought, look in this room or whatever. You know, it's like he gives you that sense to go to that room, wherever it is, and you find it. It's like, whoa, you know. So I got this word after, and he says to me, he says, shall I not help you in the big things like I help you in the little things? Yes, I have and will do as long as you stay with me, close to me. Keep your eyes, ears, and heart attentive to my word, my voice, my spirit, and you will see great things like never before. I will reveal them to you, for I am the mighty one, great in power, able to do super abundantly above all you ask or think. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Anyway, I just thought that how he knew Amen. What you and I were talking about with the little things, you know.
Well, I'll tell you a little thing. It's not a testimony. It's a, I don't know. I don't know, but this last night, I went in to brush my teeth and my toothpaste was gone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, don't laugh. I'm telling you, it was gone. It left out. I don't know where it was. It was a brand new tube, almost a brand new tube. I hadn't used but just a little of it. And strangest thing, I turned that bathroom upside down. You know how you think, you know, well, I must have done this or I must have done that. I must have laid it over here or I laid it over there. I couldn't find it anywhere. Couldn't find it anywhere. So I said, I wonder if Judy got it. No, it wasn't Judy. It wasn't Judy that got it. But I looked and I looked. I couldn't find it. I haven't found it yet. I don't know what happened to it. And I don't know. I don't know. It must have been a demon to get it. David said he thought it was a demon, so he tried to, that I would blame him for it.
That's another thing that we deal with. Sometimes we feel like, you know, we come across a situation and we're trying to take care of it and it's not working. And we wonder, why are we getting frustrated? Why is it not working? And so then we have to back away from it. Next thing you know, the Lord helps us through that. You know? It's like we just got to let Him take over instead of get frustrated.
Well, pray for me, Sue, because I've been frustrated.
Lord, help me find it.
Honestly, I don't know where that toothpaste went.
Leanne, Denny lost his Bible today.
Who?
Denny.
Denny did?
Yeah, he lost his Bible after the meeting today. Didn't you, Denny?
No, you didn't. You didn't lose your sword, man. I know you didn't lose your sword. Praise God.
I had misplaced it. I put it on the top of your water filter. So we were looking everywhere for it.
So Shem was sitting there reading it, huh? Okay. All right. We got an angel that we got three angels in the houses here. I'm up on the second story. And there's two angels up here. There's one called Jeriel. I call him Jerry. Then there's Baruch over here on my side. I call him Barry. Then there's another, we've got a water cooler, not a water cooler, it's a, what do you call those things? Water filter down okay. there by the door. Yeah, a Berkey filter down there. And there's another angel that sits there, but up above the filter, we've got a poster up there that says, drain the swamp. And he sits up there with his sword, tapping on that with that look in his eye. We're taking care of this. We're taking care of this business here. That's who takes care of us. And when we pray, those angels take off and they go do business and they come back. So it's pretty neat. Pretty neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen them, but Eve's seen them. She sees them all the time. I just hadn't been able to see them yet. I know they're there because I can tell they're there. I can tell. Barry's right outside the door here. Okay, what else?
Michael, it's me, Judy.
I know. Michael? Go ahead. iPad, Judy, go ahead.
regarding the Psalms 23 that we're going to read, on the internet, I found what the Psalms mean. It says a sentence and it says like what the Lord is my shepherd. It means relationship. I shall not be in want. Supply. He needs to lie down in green pastures. We're resting. He leads me beside quiet waters. Refreshment. He restores my soul. Healing. He guides me past the righteousness. Guidance for his name's sake, purpose. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, testing, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, faithfulness, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
It's easy for you to say.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hope. You anoint my head with oil. Consecration. My cup overfloweth. Abundance. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Security. Forever. Eternity.
What's the word, Judy, that you've got for surely goodness and love will follow me? Surely goodness and mercy.
Blessing.
Oh, blessings. Okay. Because that's the chapter we're in tonight.
Okay.
Yep. So he does all of them with one word, and this guy goes in depth. He kind of gives us a parallel.
Michael, there's names for each one of those, some of those things, like Jehovah Rohi, I think that's shepherd. I shall not want, because he's my provider, Jehovah Jireh. That's righteousness. I can't remember them all, but there's different, the names of God in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have it written on one of my, I have it used for. But yeah,
skinny your little old self back there and get them. Let's hear them. I'd like to hear what they are. Yeah, Leah.
Is there any way you can get James a copy of the PDF or anything?
Joe's got that. Joe, you know how to do that in the chat. Can you put him a link?
But he's on the phone now. Can he get the chat?
No.
Or is he on a computer? So.
No,
James, are you on the computer or on the phone?
On the phone. I called in, but it kicked me out, so now I'm on the app on my iPhone.
Okay.
Can you get a PDF?
Let me look.
Wait a minute, Joe. I don't know. How would we send that to him? You got his number. Michael, you could probably send it to him.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Let's see. Okay.
Let me open that up. Let me see.
That way you can follow along.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go ahead and there we go. I got it.
All right, great.
Okay, good. Awesome.
Thank you, Joe. Okay,
and chapter 11?
Yeah.
Yes,
thank you. Yeah, we'll be in chapter 11 when I start here. Give me just a second here. Okay. Okay, let's see. What's that?
That's all. Oh,
sorry, that was my son.
Oh, okay.
It was my son. My son in the background. My apologies.
Oh, that's okay. I'm gonna go ahead and mute you. Do you know how to mute and unmute on the phone?
Yeah, I'll mute myself right now. I'm gonna mute myself.
Okay. Okay, gotcha. That must be Tracy. Hey, Tracy. Okay. Okay, did you find it, Sue?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, R-O-H-I-E, shepherd. I shall not want, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I have shalom, shalom relating to peace. And then Raphan, R-A-P-H. And I'm not sure what that, no, Jehovah Rapha. I can't remember what that one was for. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Jehovah Tishknu, my righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jehovah Shama, and then I just have them written on here, but I can't remember what parts. Makedesh is another name in verse 4. Verse 5. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Jehovah Nissi. When I think goes to the pit table in the presence of my enemies. And El Shaddai, he's a God who is more than enough. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that is only through Jesus, Lord, our Lord and Savior. I used to remember what they all meant, but I haven't looked at them very much in a while because this is my old Bible.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for being with us tonight, and let us see all the little nuggets you have for us in this parallel that we've been on, Lord. We thank you for it, in Jesus' name. All right, chapter 11. Let me get things situated here. Surely goodness and love will follow me. Now, if you come across something that you'd like to comment on, just stop me. And do it. We can do it that way. Okay. Throughout the study of this psalm, continuous emphasis has been put upon the care exercised by the attentive sheep man. It has been stressed how essential to the welfare of the sheep is the rancher's diligent effort and labor. All the benefits enjoyed by a flock under skilled and loving management have been drawn in bold lines. Now, all of this is summed up here by the psalmist in one brave but simple statement. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. The sheep with such a shepherd knows of a surety that his is a privileged position. No matter what comes, at least and always, he can be perfectly sure that goodness and mercy will be in the picture. He reassures himself that he is ever under sound, sympathetic, intelligent ownership. What more need he care about? Goodness and mercy will be the treatment he receives from his master's expert loving hands. Not only is this a bold statement, but it is somewhat of a boast, an exclamation of implicit confidence in the one who controls his career and destiny. How many Christians actually feel this way about Christ? How many of us are truly concerned that no matter what occurs in our lives, we are being followed by goodness and mercy? Of course, it is very simple to speak this way when things are going well. If my health is excellent, my income is flourishing, my family is well, and my friends are fond of me, it's not hard to say, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. But what about when one's body breaks down? What do I say when I stand by helpless, as I've had to do, and watch a life partner die by degrees under appalling pain? What is my reaction when my job folds up and there's no money to meet bills? What happens if my children can't make their grades in school or get caught running with the wrong gang? What do I say when suddenly, without good grounds, friends prove false and turn against me? These are the sort of times that test a person's confidence in the care of Christ. These are the occasions during which the chips are down and life is more than a list of pious platitudes. When my little world is falling apart and the dream castles of my ambitions and hopes crumbles into ruins, can I honestly declare, surely, yes, surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life? Or is this just sheer humbug and a maddening mockery? In looking back over my own life in the light of my love and care for my sheep, I can see again and again a similar compassion and concern for me in my master's management of my affairs. There were events which at the time seemed like utter calamities. There were paths down which he led me that appeared like blind alleys. There were days he took me through which were well nigh black as night itself. But all in the end turned out for my benefit and my well-being. Does anyone have anything they'd like to comment on? With my limited understanding as a finite human being, I could not always comprehend his management executed in infinite wisdom. With my natural tendencies to fear, worry, and ask why, it was not always simple to assume that he really did know what he was doing with me. There were times I was tempted to panic, to bolt, and to leave his care. Somehow, I had the strange, stupid notion I could survive better on my own. Most men and women do. But despite this perverse behavior, I am so glad he didn't give up. I am so grateful he did follow me in goodness and mercy. The only possible motivation was his own love, his care, and concern for me as one of his sheep. And despite my doubts, despite my misgivings about his management of my affairs, he has picked me up and bore me back again in great tenderness. Amen. Does anybody have anything they'd like to comment on this? I'll just say one thing myself. Every little circumstance that comes before us, God has put there for a reason, and that's to mature his saints. It may not seem like it at the time, and it might not, you know, we get ourselves and we put ourselves in a black hole a lot of times, and we forget about God. All we're looking at is the circumstances, when what he really wants us to do is get our eyes off the circumstances and onto him, the good shepherd. And we'll look back after it's all over and we'll see where his goodness worked out to the better for us. That's all I'm going to say on that part. Anybody else want to say anything? Yeah, Barbara.
Sorry, I had to unmute. The Lord wants us to trust him. He's really revealed himself to me through this long journey that I've been on since I lost my husband. It'll be a year now here in December, end of December. And he's really just been there for me. He's shown me so much love, drawn me closer to him, you know, in the way of that love. And I'm learning to really trust him no matter what. I know he has my best interests at heart. And no matter, you know, we go through those darkness, like he, the writer of this book, he said he had lost his wife, you know, to cancer. And, you know, and he was, you know, he knew the Lord was with him. He knew the Lord brought him through it. And I know the Lord had brought me through it. I like the idea that he's gotten me closer to him, drew me closer to the Lord. And I just want to brag on the Lord that he is so good. He really does love us. He really cares for us. And it sums it all up in that one chapter. We didn't get to it yet, but where he says, I love him because he first loved me. His goodness and mercy and compassion to me are new every day. And that's so true. And my assurance is lodged in these aspects of his character. My trust in him is in his love for me as his own. That's what the Lord has shown me. And to me, that's awesome. And that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to share that. He's good.
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah. Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
I think, you know, it's real easy for us, you know, even when we're in having hard times and think like the world's crashing down around us, to remember that there's other people, and you know, that are so much worse off shape than we are, and that's God's will too, you know, that but even so, that the lost people don't have any hope, but that even if our situation seems really bad, we've all got it pretty good, you know, in the grand scheme of things, even when it looks like, you know, we've got troubles in our lives and people dying that we love and things like that. You know, not to discount, you know, Barbara and Gainold and you know, we've all lost loved ones, but there are people that have, you know, their situation is worse than what we have. And I personally, you know, I lose track of that. You know, if I'm having a bad day, you know, poor sorry Tim, but my life is really a blessed because of being, you know, friends with the Lord, and we've got to keep that in our foremost in our thoughts.
Amen. That's right. Yeah, Barbara.
Yeah, the Lord had to show me too that I had to get rid of self-pity. I had to get away from, oh, woe is me, you know, because really he's in a better place anyways. He's happy with the Lord up there. So I had to get my focus off myself and get my focus on the Lord and what he's doing and what he has me yet to do, you know, and don't worry about him. I'll see him later, you know. And I had to get rid of that self-pity, you know, that the Lord's good. He takes us through things to show us things about ourselves so that we can repent and get rid of that garbage, you know. And I just praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Most of the time it's self he's trying to get rid of, isn't it? He's trying to kill self. He wants Michael to die. He wants Barbara to die. He wants all of us to die and allow Jesus to come through. Amen. That's good. Anybody else? A lot of times we think we've got the worst situation to anybody in the world, you know, because we live in our own little old boxed-in world. Everybody's coming against me, or everything's happening to me, and I don't understand why it's all happening to me. Well, you don't worry about understanding. Just get your eyes on Jesus. When you get your eyes, just like Debbie was reading earlier, if you have that personal relationship with the Lord, I'm talking about a personal relationship where you're listening to his voice, getting into that closet with him, you'll understand a lot more. And to understand who Jesus is, what you got to do? You got to get in the Word to find out who Jesus was. So if you're getting in the Word and you're getting that solid background, you're getting that personal relationship with him, you know, God's in control. That's where he wants us. He wants us to know that. He wants us to trust him implicitly. All right, anyone else? Okay, let's go on then. As I see all of this in retrospect, I realize that for the one who is truly in Christ's care, no difficulty can arise, no dilemma emerge, no seeming disaster descend on the life without eventual good coming out of the chaos. This is to see the goodness and mercy of my Master in my life. It has become the great foundation of my faith and confidence in him. I love him because he first loved me. His goodness and mercy and compassion to me are new every day. And my assurance is lodged in these aspects of his character. My trust is in his love for me as his own. My serenity has as its basis an implicit, unshakable reliance on his ability to do the right thing, the best thing in any given situation. And this to me is the supreme portrait of my shepherd. Continually, there flows out to me his goodness and his mercy, which even though I don't deserve them, come unremittingly from their source of supply, his own great heart of love. Praise the Lord. Herein is the essence of all that has gone before in this song. All the care, all the work, all the alert watchfulness, all the skill, all the concern, all the self-sacrifice are born of his love. The love of one who loves his sheep, loves his work, and loves his role as a shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16. With all this in view, it is then proper to ask myself, is this outflow of goodness and mercy for me to stop and stagnate my life? Is there no way in which it can pass on through me to benefit others? Yes, there is a way. And this aspect is one that eludes many of us. There is a positive, practical aspect in which my life, in turn, should be one whereby goodness and mercy follow in my steps, my footsteps for the well-being of others. So what's he saying there, y'all? What's he saying? It's not about us, is it? We're servants of God's people. We're servants. That means it's not about me. It's about y'all. It's not about me. It's about my brothers and sisters and the people out there that depend upon us, each one of us. It's not about us at all. It's about the Jesus in us flowing out to other people. Yeah, Barbara.
Yeah, it just came to my mind, too, that when you, you know, for us to help others, all the things that we go through, you know, it benefits, too, others that we can help them because we have gone through things. And, you know, we'd be more able to help others who have gone through similar things, their trials and that. And Lord, use us to help them in what they're going through. Yeah, it is about others. We get our focus off ourselves and help others to, you know, be there for others. Yeah, that's it.
Amen. Amen. A shepherd's job is to protect the flock and to serve the flock and to keep them healthy. That's the shepherd's job. And God does it well. And so does his shepherds out there too. The good shepherds I'm talking about. Praise God. Anybody else? All right. Just as God's goodness and mercy flow to me all the days of my life. Wait a minute. Is that right? Yeah. Is that where I am? Yeah, okay. Flow to me all the days of my life, so goodness and mercy should follow me, should be left behind me as a legacy to others wherever I may go. We need to be an influence in people's lives as a good person. It is worth reiterating at this point that sheep can, under mismanagement, be the most destructive flock or livestock. In short order, they can ruin and ravage land almost beyond remedy. But in bold contrast, they can, on the other hand, be the most beneficial of all livestock if properly managed. That's right. Sheep have been mismanaged in the mainstream denominational church in many different ways. Many different ways. What does the Lord say about the preacher that's a hired hand? He said, if some trouble comes up, they're gonna cut and run. They're gonna leave the flock. So that's why a good shepherd is worth their weight in gold. One that cares and loves for the flock to keep out all predators and to feed them the good food. And to do all the things we've learned about in this whole book here. It's awesome. I love this book. It's so awesome. Y'all like it? I do. I think it's awesome. I think it's a way to read and to understand how God shepherds us and how we are to act and to help one another. Okay, here we'll go into the good stuff. Their manure is the best balanced of any produced by domestic stock. Oh, man. When scattered efficiently over the pastures, it proves of enormous benefit to the soil. You know, I've heard that before, Tim, that sheep's manure is some of the best in the world. You know, I don't know because I've never used it. What do you say? What say ye?
I say it's good stuff. We used it in our garden, and where they, you know, would graze without overgrazing, it did a good job of keeping the grass growing. But yeah, it was real good. It broke down good, and it was like rabbit, only not quite so hot, and it was good manure.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I know about chicken manure and how it's real hot, and you have to really watch yourself with that. But I've heard that sheep's is the best. You know, I've heard that many years. The sheep's habit of seeking the highest rise of ground on which to rest ensures that the fertility from the rich lowland is redeposited on the less productive higher ground. That's interesting. When they take them up there, that's what they do. They deposit the good stuff up there. No other livestock will consume as wide a variety of herbage. Do they eat like a goat? I mean, do they just eat anything? Sounds like it.
Yeah, they pretty much will. We had mullein plants, which were real weak and or real fuzzy leaves, and they would eat that. And we got them. We thought they'd eat knapweed, which is a real nasty plant, but they that, but if nobody was watching, they would eat thistles. But if somebody's watching, they wouldn't eat them. they seemed to know if we were around. If they thought nobody was around, I'd seen them eat on thistles when things were tough.
Oh, really? Okay.
Tim, how often do you collect their manure, and where do you store? where do you store it? Or, I mean.
In the spring, we would get it.
Put diapers on them.
Well, they'd winter in the pen because the field was so deep. There was nothing for them to graze on if we let them out. So we kept them in a, you know, it was about the size of a house, their pen was. And in the spring, you had to clean it up. And we'd let it rot for about a year and then screen it, put it in the garden. So it was just a small area that we had to really, it was like cleaning a barn, basically, only it was outdoors.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Sheep eat all sorts of weeds and other undesirable plants that might otherwise invade a field. Will they eat kudzu? They won't eat kudzu?
I had never heard of kudzu until Blake and Anna and Matt came down to visit you guys.
Man, if they'll eat kudzu, they can get rid of that stuff. That'd be awesome. Okay. For example, they love the buds and tender tips of Canada thistle. That's what you're talking about, isn't it? Canada thistle, which, if not controlled, can quickly become a most noxious weed. In a few years, a flock of well-managed sheep will clean up and restore a piece of ravaged land as no other creature can do. In ancient literature, sheep were referred to as those of the golden hooves. All right. Simply because they were regarded and esteemed so highly for their beneficial effect on the land. That's awesome. In my own, but you have to watch them real careful, don't you? You have to keep them from eating this place plumb up and rooting things out. Okay. In my own experience as a sheep rancher, I have, in just a few years, seen two derelict ranches restored to high productivity and usefulness. More than this, what before appeared as depressing eyesores became beautiful, park-like properties of immense worth. Where previously there had been only poverty and pathetic waste, there now followed flourishing fields and rich abundance. My word, that's good. In other words, goodness and mercy had followed my flocks. They left behind them something worthwhile, productive, beautiful, and beneficial to both themselves, others, and me. Where they had walked, there followed fertility and weed-free land. Where they had lived, there remained beauty and abundance. The question now comes to me pointedly, is this true of my life? Do I leave a blessing and a benediction behind me? Listen, I wanted to ask a question, Tim, before I go get off the manure question. Hey, I know in cows, when they eat weeds, weed seeds and things like that, and they leave it on the ground, you get weeds coming up. Is that the same case with sheep, or do they pretty much compost it inside and then poop it out?
I think it was fairly weed-free, and you know, I don't think there was any seeds that really germinated out of their manure that I remember.
Okay.
It seemed like it was digested well by the time they got done with it.
No, that's good. That's awesome. Maybe that's why they're so beneficial. You know, where a cow's been out in a herd, and they've been eating like careless weeds or something like the ragweed or anything like that, and they go out in another field, they'll deposit the seed out there, and you'll have that stuff coming up all over the place. Or Johnson grass or whatever. Okay, let's continue. Hey, Dave. You doing okay?
Yeah, I just had to do a few hours this week already at the post office. That's all. A few more than
okay.
Normal.
Okay. Sir Alfred Tennyson wrote in one of his great classic poems, "The good man who lives after them." On one occasion, two friends spent a few days in our home while passing through en route to some engagements in the East, and they invited me to go along. After several days on the road, one of the men missed his hat. He was sure it had been left in our home. He asked me to write my wife to find it and kindly send it on to him. Her letter of reply was one I shall never forget. One sentence in particular made an enormous impact on me. "I have combed the house from top to bottom and can find no trace of the hat. The only thing those men left behind was a great blessing." And don't you want that said of y'all? I do. The only thing they left behind was she couldn't find the hat, but she remembered all the great blessings they had left there. Is this the way people feel about me? Do I leave a trail of sadness or of gladness behind? Is my memory in other people's minds entwined with mercy and goodness? Or would they rather forget me altogether? Do I deposit a blessing behind me? Or am I a bane to others? Is my life a pleasure to people or a pain? In Isaiah 52:7, we read, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace." Sometimes it is profitable to ask ourselves such simple questions as, do I leave behind peace in lives or turmoil? Do I leave behind forgiveness or bitterness? Do I leave behind contentment or conflict? Do I leave behind flowers of joy or frustration? Do I leave behind love or rancor? Some people leave such a sorry mess behind them wherever they go that they prefer to cover their tracks. For the true child of God, the one under the shepherd's care, there should never be any sense of shame or fear in going back to where they have lived or been before. Why? Because there, They have left a legacy of uplift, encouragement, and inspiration to others. In Africa, where I spent so many years, one of the greatest marks left by any man was that of David Livingstone. No matter where his footsteps took him, through the bush and plains of the great continent, there remained the impact of his love. Natives whose language he never learned, long years after, remembered him as the kindly, tender doctor whom goodness and mercy had followed all the days of his life. And there remains in my own mind boyhood recollection of the first stories I was told about Jesus Christ as a man amongst us. His life was summed up in the simple, terse, but deeply profound statement, "He went about doing good." It was as though this was the loftiest, noblest, most important thing on which he could possibly spend his few short years. But I also was deeply impressed by the fact that his good and kindly acts were always commingled with mercy. Where so often other human beings were rude and harsh and vindictive of one another, his compassion and tenderness were always apparent. Even the most flagrant sinners found forgiveness with him. Whereas the hands of their fellow men, they knew only condemnation, censure, and cruel criticism. And again, I have to ask myself, is this my attitude to other people? Do I sit up on my pedestal of self-pride and look with contempt upon my contemporaries? Or do I get down and identify myself with them in their dilemma, and there extend a small measure of the goodness and mercy given to me by my master? Do I see sinners with the compassion of Christ or with the critical eye of censure? Am I willing to overlook faults and weaknesses in others and extend forgiveness as God has forgiven me my failings? The only real practical measure of my appreciation for the goodness and mercy of God to me is the extent to which I am, in turn, prepared to show goodness and mercy to others. Boy, that's something we ought to tackle on the wall, isn't it? Glory to God. Well, Father, we thank you so much for this awesome chapter here that makes us reflect on the inside of us. I know some may even be out there looking at, well, I know that's him, bless God, you know. But, Lord, let it be something that we look inside of us to have you correct, Lord. Take away all of that darkness out of our hearts for any human being. And let it only be grace and mercy that flows out of us, Lord. And let your love, you said love's the greatest thing we could have, and that's your love, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you just fill us up with your love. So much so, Lord, that there ain't no room for nothing else. There's no room for our flesh to interfere with the love that you have for the people around us, through us. And Lord, I'm asking you to help us change our outlook that we're a victim. We're not victims. We're filled with the Holy Spirit of the God Almighty. We're filled with the Spirit of Christ who made this, created this world. And we can do all things through Christ. And Father, we ask and we pray that you place that in our hearts to have that love and adoration for your brothers and sisters. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
I don't think we were through with that chapter.
Oh, okay. Did I miss some pages? Yeah, I sure did. My gracious. Well, has anybody else got them? Because let me look here in my iPad. I don't know why that did that, but it did. It just printed wrong. Didn't print all of them out. Anybody else have that problem? Or just me? That's that demon in here. Stole my toothpaste. $109. Okay. Surely I don't have to do this. Give me a minute here, folks. I'll get caught up. What was it, 114?
Yeah, 114.
Okay. Okay, I got it. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to say? All right, I'll continue on this. I'm sorry about that. All right, if I am unable to forgive and extend friendship to fallen men and women, then it is quite certain I'll know little or nothing in a practical sense of Christ's forgiveness and mercy to me. It is this lack of love among Christians which today makes the church an insipid, lukewarm institution. People come to find affection in or turned off by our tepidity. But men and women who know firsthand about the goodness and mercy of God in their own lives will be warm and affectionate with goodness and mercy to others. This is to be a benefit to them. But equally important, it is to be a blessing to God. Yes, a blessing to God. Most of us think only God can bring a blessing to us. The Christian life is a two-way proposition. Nothing pleased me more than to see my flock flourish and prosper. It delighted me personally to no end to feel compensated for the care I had given them. To see them content was wonderful. To see the land benefiting was beautiful. And the two together made me a happy man. It enriched my own life. It was a reward for my efforts and energy. In this experience, I received full compensation for all that I had poured into the endeavor. Most of us forget that our shepherd is looking for some satisfaction as well. We are told that he looked upon the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And this is the benefit we can bring to him. He looks on my life in tenderness, for he loves me deeply. He sees the long years during which his goodness and mercy have followed me without slackening. He longs to see some measure of that same goodness and mercy, not only passed on to others by me, but also passed back to him with joy. He longs for love, my love, and I love him only and because he first loved me, and then he is satisfied. Is that it? Okay. All right, that looked like I got a blank page, the next page, so that has to be it. I ain't got no more. All right, what y'all say, Jose? Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Okay. Go ahead, Sue.
I kept hearing, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Because it was
I didn't hear.
Huh?
I didn't hear that song.
I didn't.
Sing it. Sing. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Sue.
Because almost every, I don't know if it was in every paragraph or not, but I heard a lot of surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I was hearing that a lot, and that song kept coming to me. So if I can share it up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. A pilgrim was I and wandering in the cold night of sin I did roam, when Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. I'm going to do verse 3. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely his great hand will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness, everybody knows that chorus? Can sing it with me? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. I like that chorus.
Amen. Y'all see how blessed we are here near this local fellowship. Sue sings and Debbie sings, and they're both real good. But when them two get together and sing a song, woo, Lord of God, I'm telling you, it is awesome. I know y'all get the big heads, you know, we can go the other way with that. No, they have a great voice, both of them do. Thank you, Lord. We are so blessed here. We've got those two. Lakeisha, who else? Me, let's see, Leon. What are you laughing about, Debbie? No, I couldn't carry a tune in a wet bucket. But anyway, we got some good singers here, good musicians too. Praise God. But we're still looking for a banjo player. Anybody play the banjo, move on down. Got a free ticket. Amen. All right, Leon.
I was thinking when you were talking about displaying grace to others, and Barbara also chimed in with that same thing, displaying grace to others and so forth. I was thinking about 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So because of our experiences, we are able to comfort others and offer them the grace and the mercy of God. Because we've experienced it, we can share that with others and lift them up and, you know, just give them what they need, which is not condemnation, but it's a feeling of grace and mercy, you know. So.
Well, that encouragement tool is a great tool. Absolutely. And I always like to encourage people.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it's like Barbara was saying, you know, this author spoke about his wife dying of cancer and her husband died of cancer, you know, so she has an understanding there that if she was able to minister to this man, she would be able to minister in a much more pertinent message than people that didn't experience that too. So.
Amen. If you learn from it like they're learning from it with that love of Christ in them, yes, sir, they will. They'll be able to help a lot of folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that love and that encouragement.
That's one of the reasons I believe God allows us to experience certain things in our lives. Even apart from Him, we experience things that we can help people out that are going through similar objects, not even in the Christian sense, you know, but even in a lost sense. We did that, so we know how that works. So we're able to minister to people in that regard too, and explain how that our experience has brought us to Christ, which would be the greatest comfort they could get, you know, and so even the lost are we're able to minister to those too. So that's important as well.
Amen.
I got some tattoos on my arm, you know, and people, excuse me, people.
Come out in the name of Jesus.
Yes, I agree. But I'm able to minister to people with tattoos. You know, I give out those Harley tracks. Yeah. Jesus would have ridden a Harley, and that ministers to a lot of people. So.
Okay.
Pardon me.
Amen.
That's important.
It is. Showing love is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Showing love is real important. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Barbara.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, how he's drawn me close to him by showing me love. I also feel more love now for others with his love towards me. You know what I mean? It's like inpouring and then it's outpouring. You just naturally have that love for others. I feel it more so than even before, you know, that love. So, amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's true. All right. Anyone else want to comment on what we've just read? Any aspect of it? Yeah, James, go ahead, brother.
Hey, so what really resonated with me was on page 112, it says, it is worth reiterating at this point that sheep can, under mismanagement, be the most destructive livestock. And I think that's very true over here in Orange County. It's a very very rich area, and a lot of the churches are seeker-friendly. And they do a lot of, you know, integration with, you know, self-help. So you have a lot of people on the streets that, you know, when you ask them about their walk with Christ, and, you know, it doesn't look like what the Bible shows. And it's scary because a lot of people are, you know, they're cookie cutting that into, you know, other people who aren't believers yet. And so it's true, mismanaged flocks can totally ravage an area, you know, and the good part is the little church I'm attending right now, is it's a recovery church. So a lot of the people came out of drugs and alcohol and a lot of other stuff. And there's a bit, since there is so much money around here, there's a lot of, you know, even the youngsters doing heroin and, you know, taking prescription pills. So there's a lot of need and a lot of deliverance. And I just, you know, I pray every day how Jesus said, you know, pray that the laborers come because the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And unfortunately, the laborers that are here again are preaching totally different doctrine and gospel what's in the Bible.
Amen. Well, they're doing that all over, James. They really are. I know you're inundated with that seeker-friendly garbage out there, but we got the same stuff here, not seeker-friendly so much as false doctrine stuff. And that's right. We have an opportunity. That's the reason God is fixing to turn loose his judgments upon the earth, and is to drive his people out of these types of churches and to bring them into the truth of the gospel. That's God's plan to do, and it's a good plan. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm sorry, I clicked on the wrong thing.
That's okay.
I need to have you start all over again. I kind of missed out on some of it, so.
Oh, start over, huh? Oh, man. No, it was really good. If any of you haven't read that, it'd be nice. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut some of it out and put it up on the wall, you know, so I can look at it and see it, because there's some great truths in this particular chapter here. Great truths about introspection. You know, looking at yourself. Where are we? Do we try to show that love? Do we try to show that grace and that mercy when it's needed? And are we firm in our stance with the Word of God? And those are the two things that seem to slip out of the hands of the apostate churches. There's grace and mercy and firmness on the hands of standing firm on the Word of God. Okay. Somebody just came in. Who was it? Oh, no. Okay. Anybody else got something they'd like to talk about? Talk some more about this? Come on, y'all. There's a lot in there. How about I just ask somebody? Huh? Okay. Andrew, what'd you think about this chapter? I pick you, because you always have some good stuff.
Well, you know, I was, how he's always there providing for us and rescuing us. I was thinking about the book of Acts and this young lad who's in the floor rafters there ready to fall down. It says that Paul was going to spend 7 days there. And this is what happened on the first day. Some people kind of make a joke about all of this, so that this young lad was bored. But I don't think he was bored and fell asleep that way. He was just a youth, a young man. He was sitting up there in the rafters, and he was excited to be up there, because he was listening to the apostles' word, and he was receiving the joy and thanksgiving for this word, so much so he was so contented by it that he fell into a rest, and he fell out of these third rafters down onto the ground dead, and he was revived afterwards. You see, I believe it was a wonderful prospect of what's going to happen in the future. you see. We've heard the lovely word of God. We receive it with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. And it's going to throw us into the rest of this rest account for the seventh day. And this is the first day of the seventh. We're coming to a first day, and even though this young man fell down, he lost his life, and he gained his life. Just as he landed and he lost his life, it shows his cross there, to lose your life to gain your life. And it's so heartwarming to see that in all this, you know, that I was delivered of that really crude joke that people say about this, that he was bored about and fell asleep. And that's just not what happened there. And the Lord took the time to show his love, not only to the young lad, but to every single person who saw. You know, in the future, when you meet that young lad, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but it's written in the book of Acts. He's going to say, I never knew that the Lord was going to use this to teach us about something that's going to happen in the future. You know, and he probably referred to that a lot of times in his life, because we don't know if he grew up to be an older gentleman or got married and had children and everything. But there was a purpose for that, those few verses in there. And I really, it spoke to me so much. So much so that I went to my concordance and I looked up the word ready, because we have to get ready. And it was so exciting. The first two places in the Old Testament where it said ready. And it was like the Lord was speaking to me in these stories. One is with Abraham, and the other one is with Joseph, where the word ready is there. And when I was reading the one about Joseph in Genesis, help me, Lord. 43 and the verses 16 and 25. You know, I was so amazed, and I actually went to the last place too. But there's a ready there too in the Old Testament. But these readies were negative in the Old Testament. The story about Dan in the book of Daniel 3:15. That's where they're just about to bow down before the obelisk that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. You know, he's given them a chance to bow. You know, and he doesn't take it because he wants to be ready. So it showed two of the two last ones there in the Old Testament were to be ready to stand, you know, to show yourself ready for the Lord, to stand on the Lord's word, to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. And you know, and there was some really good ones in the New Testament. Those two last ones in my concordance, anyway, were ones where you had to make a stand. And the New Testament ones were really good too. In the first ones in Matthew, there they was really cool. You know, and I was just wondering about all these. I just took it in the word ready. You know, and just to make yourself ready, and they were all very ministering to me on how we're to get ready, I would encourage anyone to do so. It's just a concordance. It's the Strong's Concise Concordance for the King James and the New King James and the NCV. I don't know what that one is. And the NIV, of course, that NIV is for us too. You get the spiritual blood from that. And well, praise God. And amen. You guys heard me, right?
No, I didn't hear a word of it. Go ahead and repeat it. No, yeah, we heard everything, Andrew. That's good. Thank you. I was just muted, sitting there talking. Yeah, that's real good. Yeah, we heard every word of it. Joe DeBrazzi, what are your thoughts on this chapter here? You have any thoughts on it? Okay. Anybody else? What about it, Barry? Barry, Barry, Barry.
Who, me?
Yeah. Yeah,
you. Yeah, I think that, the summation of this thing, how have you left the environment and the places you've been? I'd hate to think about it. Way back when, I was full of, faction and foul mouth and unsaved and, pretty nasty kind of existence and speech and everything else. And I probably left a few bombed out, burned out, places in my life where I'd gone through and just, left destruction behind me. And it really is a big change when you get saved and that hopefully changes and you do leave a blessing instead of all the misery and destruction and bad feelings and things like that. So, and I've met people like that who were a good example to me of just, they were just sweet and had, the Holy Spirit and the Jesus in them, and everywhere they went, it was just a blessing to be around them. And when you spent time with them, you had a real positive feeling. You were blessed in a number of ways. You learned things. You got that excellent example. That's where we want to be. In the book did a real good job of spelling that out. So, yeah, it was good.
Amen. Yes, he did. He did an excellent job. What about it, Denny? Denny Finsky, what do you think about it, bud? What's your thoughts on this chapter?
It was good. Certainly goodness and love. It's, you just really appreciate the love of the Lord, and the fact that he has shepherds in fact, we're all sheep, but then he also has shepherds among the flock and, that, they care for you, and you really have to see that that's their primary concern, and you just got to remember that time they're put there by God to help, so it makes it easy to want to come under them, really look to that, to come under for that protection and that safety, and that's what they're there for. And they have to give an account, and you appreciate that. And it's so just a blessing. It's a blessing to have sheep, shepherds, when you're a sheep. Thank you, Jesus.
It sure is. Thank you, Lord. What about Dave?
Like I said, I got to read this thing. I just caught the end of it. So
okay.
What I did hear was really wonderful.
Yeah. That whole chapter was pretty good. All right, Tim, what do you think, bud? old shepherd you.
Well, one thing I thought was really, you know, he's talking about the sheep rehabilitating the land and, you know, taking a rotten piece of ground and making it good after a few seasons. I thought that, you know, if the shepherd, if we're being properly shepherded and being obedient, that we are, you know, leaving a place, maybe a spiritual place, maybe a physical place, maybe a legacy that is easier for the people that are behind us that are going to be, you know, becoming disciples and, you know, searching the Lord out. Just the little things that we've done are going to make the path a little bit smoother, you know, kind of like John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord, you know, smoothing out the rough spots, you know, taking the rocks out of the road and things like that, that, you know, we can do, and through with his guidance that even subconsciously or, you know, not aware that we're going to do things that hopefully make it easier for the ones that come behind us to enter into the kingdom a little easier.
Amen. It will. It will. It'll make them want to strive to be like that good shepherd. Thank you, Lord. What about him, Malcolm? Are you around?
Sometimes it's hard to tell. Yeah, it sounds good. I'm working while I'm listening.
That's it. It sounds good.
It's wonderful to hear everybody talking.
Okay.
I just logged in. Dialed in just briefly in between jobs. So.
Okay. All right. I understand. I know you work
love it,
hard.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love to hear everybody's voices.
Yeah. Well, what I was talking about was the book we've been reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sue.
I was just pondering on that whole thing about the manure and how it works on the grass. And I was thinking, you know, like people are what we've been learning is that people are part of that field, you know, and what we assimilate, what we take in of the word and what we learn from that word is going to be positive for the people down the road, because we're supposed to spread it around. but you know what I'm saying?
No, what you're saying.
It just made me think about how we're taking the word in our,
yeah, I know,
being spiritually, we're going to give the good food to them, even though that's
not amen.
good manure.
You better stop while you're ahead.
Yeah.
Amen.
Anyway, amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Amen. What do you think, Leon?
I didn't think.
Did you hear the chapter?
What's that?
Did you hear the reading of the chapter?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, I was asking you what you think about the this part of the chapter, chapter.
I love this whole book. It's an amazing book.
Yeah,
I'm excited about getting to share it with you guys. I was going to ask Sue though, what are you saying about the Word of God? Never.
Forget it, Sue. So,
spread what around?
We are what we eat, right? And the Lord wants us to eat.
Never. I'm just. Oh my. I'm harassing you.
Oh, sorry. That's true. We are what we. If we eat Christ, you know, we're supposed to eat Christ. And we get in us, then our walk will be producing fruit, and God will be able to use it for others.
Yeah.
You know.
Amen.
That's why I read that compassion or comforting in 2 Corinthians there.
Yeah. All right, Wade, what about you, brother? Oh, go ahead, Denny.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, what about Gano? Because Marlon and Gano had a lot of sheep.
That's right. I forgot about that.
At one Gano. Time, I know she has
no
a lot.
Shepherdess you. She ain't talking. Okay. All right. Wade, do you have any comments on this past chapter we read today, tonight?
Gainold's sound is off.
Oh, she trying to talk. Judy. Judy, you got one job to do, and you failed miserably. Go ahead, Gainold. Go ahead, Gainold.
I will have to say, after we had all those sheep and we put that on the garden, we had just an awesome garden for a long time. It was just very rich soil. And, you know, and we're referring to the Word of God, and it's very rich. When we have been with others, the Lord will make it to grow.
Yes.
So I guess that's how I see that. And I'm really enjoying this book. I have, you know, don't have my own copy, but I'm going to get one.
Amen.
Yeah, it is a wonderful book. It really is. It's a wonderful book.
His comparison of sheep and people is so perfect. So perfect.
It is. It is. It is.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it is.
Amen.
Hey, Gainold, well, if you order one, why don't you order two, and I'll pay you for it.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I guess that's
all right. George, what I'd like to hear your comments on this chapter. Come in, George. Okay. What about you, James? What little bit you heard of it, what'd you think of it?
I thought it was real good. It had a lot of
Amen.
It was very insightful. It was very, very insightful.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Wade.
I thought it was very revealing. It helps widen our view of Christ in us and the introspect. Like a telescope wider and like a magnifying glass enlarged.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good analogy.
Our lives in a sheepfold.
Amen.
It was enlightening.
Yes. All right. Good deal. Joe Britt, what do you think of it, brother?
Well, most important, I think, is not just this chapter, but the book is why I left my life. Do I see a fleshly Joe? Or is that, do I see the Christ in me? There was a time I was really more fleshly than living the Word tonight. I hope that changed now. Well, it's busy changing with the Lord helping me, especially with the situation with Nora, and then I have to think about myself and the way of people sees me, and not just by myself, but with my family. It helps me a lot, not just this chapter, it's a whole book. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Well, we're about out of time. Let's see. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful book that you provided for us, that you helped us, Philip, whatever his name is, Philip Keller, write, Lord, we know that you wrote, you helped him write this, or if you didn't write the whole thing, I'd be surprised, because it's such an awesome book. And it lets us look at ourselves and reflect on where we are with you, Lord. And thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity to read this book and to reflect and to talk it out and see what we can, what nuggets we can glean out of this book. And Father, I thank you that even this chapter here will change us for the better. Lord, that we would know that wherever we go, we want to leave a Christ-like impression. We don't want to leave a fleshly impression. We want to leave a Christ-like impression. And that the love of Christ would follow us everywhere we go. And that we'd have this encouraging attitude about us that would show people the light of the gospel in a positive way, Lord, and a truthful way. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for being with us. Being with us and giving us a good night's sleep tonight, and also that you'll come by, you'll have us reflecting on this thing so that Thursday night when we get back into it, we'll have some more things to talk about. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for being with us, protecting us, guiding us, and filling us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. So much so that there's no room for any darkness. No room for anything but you, Lord, and nothing shining out of us but you. And Father, we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power, your delivering power. And Father, we just praise you for the love that comes forth out of our lips to everybody that we talk to. Let us speak blessings and not curses on anyone. In Jesus' name, set a watch before our lips, Lord. And take her hand and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. God bless y'all. Let's see me get everybody unmuted here. All right. Good night, y'all. God bless you.
All too.
Bless you all like a smile.